Welcome to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Lots of NASCAR news for us to talk about today. I am Chris Graham, joined by Rod Mullins. And Rod, let's first start with the duel of the Busch brothers at the end of Atlanta's race this past weekend. Dramatic finish there. Take us into how things went out.
Dramatic. There's a lot of other adjectives I can throw in on that one, too, that we'll get to here in just a second. But yeah, there toward the very end, Kurt Busch made his run against his brother Kyle. And then, you know, as the lap started dwindling down just a little bit more each time, Kyle was just starting to get a little bit more frustrated. He couldn't get where he wanted to get at on the track. And then, lo and behold, came up, how can I say this in such a nice way? Kurt Busch's teammate, Ross Chastain, who supposedly, according to Kyle Busch, threw a block to keep him from getting up through there to the front again or trying to make a run again. And I'll address what NASCAR's reaction about that was. But Kurt Busch he'd been 26 races without a win. He picks up a win on Sunday at Atlanta Motor Speedway on the last race that they're going to run on that particular type of track because Monday they started tearing up the pavement. Going back in, they're going to resurface. They're going to reconfigure the track a little bit different. So Kyle Busch was not too happy about that either. I'll get to further comments about Kyle here just a little bit later on. But it was a good win for Kurt Busch. I can't say it any other way because, to me, I think Kurt Busch has been deserving of a win. And then also he's racing to try to get a job or keep a job per se, because we're in this situation of Trackhouse Motorsports has taken over for Chip Ganassi and they're looking for one driver to fill a position next year. Daniel Suarez is already set. And so you've got this one open spot and who else better than to make a run to try to go and say, hey, look, I'm an old man, but I can still get things done on the track. And it's Kurt Busch. And that's what he did on Sunday.
I like the quote I'm reading. I was looking at the Associated Press, a quick recap of the race, and the quote they had from Kurt Busch was, hell yeah, we beat Kyle.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, you like this old man? Hell yeah, I beat Kyle.
That's right. Kyle did have a bad weekend, though, finished second in that race, and he also won the Xfinity Series race on Saturday. He can only race five times this year on the Xfinity Series, and he won all five times he raced there. Yeah. So not a bad weekend for the Busch brothers in general.
No, not a bad weekend at all. But, you know, we still have to get back to the same thing of, you know, the dueling brothers, so to speak, you know, Kurt and Kyle back and forth. You know, they kind of know each other. They know each other's moves and different things like that. But, you know, I've seen a greater maturity level with Kurt Busch here over the last several years. And, you know, we've talked before and I've kidded before about his alleged love life with Patricia Driscoll. And then finally she supposedly put his head into a trailer or something at one time through a sheetrock in a motorhome. And then they kind of went Splitsville after that. But, you know, to me, I think Kurt has kind of matured a little bit more as the seasons have gone along. He's kind of, I wouldn't say an elder statesman, so to speak, but he's kind of one of the statesmen of NASCAR right now. He gets frustrated the same way that some of these other drivers do, but he doesn't let it show the way that he used to here several years ago and what got him kicked out of Penske Motorsports when he and, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was either Dr. Jerry Punch or John Kernan won. I think it's Dr. Jerry Punch when he and Jerry Punch kind of exchanged words. And I won't say Jerry Punch said a lot of them, but Kurt was the one that really exchanged a lot of words. And I think that whole incident right there, him being out of the sport there for a little bit, running with the Furniture Row people there for 1 year and getting him some experience, kind of got him back into it. Kyle, on the other hand, is a different book altogether.
Let's talk about some guys who had some issues on Sunday. Chase Elliott had some problems. His problem was locked brakes. Martin Truex Jr. was supposed to start fifth. He failed two pre-race inspections. And then Denny Hamlin had an issue after the second stage. So maybe take us through what those guys had to deal with, self-inflicted in a couple cases.
Yeah, Chase Elliott just said over and over, we just didn't have the car. You know, like for things to have gone another way. And I'm sure the home crowd would have liked for him to pull it off a win, you know, there at Atlanta, not far from Dawsonville, Georgia. But it just wasn't meant to be. Denny Hamlin, I don't know what's wrong with this team. They're snake bit right now, it seems like. They'll have a couple of good runs. And then as things start to get toward the end of the race or maybe about the halfway point of the race, things go south for him. So I don't know what exactly is going wrong there with Joe Gibbs Racing. Martin Truex is in that same group there. The Joe Gibbs Racing team, all together, they've not had a great season. And a lot of people just scratching their heads because everybody is talking about Hendrick and the revitalization of the Hendrick Motorsports program. And Joe Gibbs Racing has been competitive in several races, but it just wasn't there this past weekend. Again, with Kyle, as he said, you know, he had no front end grip. That was one of the things that he had problems with. And then, like I'd kind of alluded to a little bit earlier, he didn't like the fact that somebody threw a block for him. He didn't like that certain people got in his way. And, you know, it kind of goes with this teammate sort of thing. You know, if you're a part of a team, you want to be a teammate to somebody. But then as you're getting down toward the last, say, five laps of a race, nobody's really a teammate at that point. So, you know, you kind of start looking at that situation and you wonder, you know, what's going on with Kyle right here? What's going on with the race team in general at Joe Gibbs Racing? So a lot of questions and no immediate answers.
Quick note on Chase Elliott, 0-7 on his home track in Atlanta mm-hmm. career. So at some point he'll win one there, I'm sure. He's got a long time to go before he's hanging them up. Hey, some breaking news. We're recording this on Wednesday. Those listening later in the week, you may have already heard the news, but let's discuss it here. Kyle Larson, no surprise here in a sense. He's been heating up the track a lot lately, but signs an extension with Hendrick Motorsports through 2023. Take us into that news.
Well, it's a big deal because it was only a one-year deal this year, and he's already impressed everybody at Hendrick Motorsports so much. So, you know, Rick Hendrick just went ahead and said, let's sign him for two more years and let's get him on there. But here's the deal. Some of his non-NASCAR racing events, some of the dirt racing that he enjoys doing when he's not on the asphalt or he's not on the road course or the oval, Rick Hendrick is going to support him in all of his non-NASCAR racing events. And that comes from the HendrickCars.com website. So he had a chance to extend his contract with them, and he feels like they're an awesome sponsor with HendrickCars.com, getting some things out there. You know, it wouldn't be long. I wouldn't be surprised to probably see Valvoline back on the car again, maybe Valvoline in a little bit more of an extended sponsorship for next season, because, you know, he won a race with Valvoline carrying those colors, and it had been a long time since someone carrying the Valvoline colors had actually went to victory lane. So that was a big plus for them. But, you know, those four wins on the season, he's led 1,400 laps. You know, he won the exhibition all-star race at Texas Motor Speedway back in June. Is there another reason why you shouldn't sign this guy to at least a 2 or 3 year contract? No, I don't think so. I think they wanted to get everybody secure, and they've already done Alex Bowman that way. They've got him secured. Now they've got, you know, Kyle Larson. They're just looking now at trying to get William Byron in there as well. Chase Elliott, I think he's okay for next year or two. So they're just trying to get some people signed up and get ready for this push going into 2022.
It is hard to believe, Rod, at least it's hard for me to believe. I'm looking at the schedule here, and there are 5 races to go until the playoffs. So we don't have a lot of time for you guys to jockey and get their playoff positioning put in the way. This is in part because, just like last year, we're in another Olympic year, back-to-back Olympic years, last year being the pandemic year. Because this part of the NASCAR schedule is on NBC, and NBC also broadcasts the Olympics, we're taking a 2-week break after this weekend for Olympic coverage. So it's New Hampshire on the 18th this coming Sunday, and then we don't race again until August 8th on a Sunday in Watkins Glen. So this is a big race going into a 2-week break. I'm sure that it's one of those kind of things you want to go in with momentum, because then after that you've only got the 4 races to go to get your playoff spots if you haven't already solidified them. Are there extra stakes this weekend going to New Hampshire as a result?
Oh yeah, I think so. I think there's some extra stakes going on, and I wouldn't be surprised that this weekend you're going to see this. I think there's going to be a lot of good racing, I think, with the Joe Gibbs cars this weekend. That seems to be one of their favorite tracks. If Denny Hamlin's not had a lot of success there, then it's probably been Martin Truex. He's raced there real well before. Kyle Busch has always raced well. So at least 3 of those drivers have a possibility of securing a shot. I mean, Kyle Busch is going to start from the pole this coming weekend at New Hampshire. So that'll be interesting to see how he does, and if he makes it through inspection and nothing puts him to the back of the pack or anything. But, you know, now we're starting to see some other drivers starting to make a push to kind of get into this whole thing, and that is none other than Tyler Reddick. Tyler Reddick is with Richard Childress Racing. Came in last year, was running in the rookie category. He's gotten a lot of good drive time underneath the belt and everything else of being able to race around the track. And he's done well this season. And he is he's on the cusp right now. He's really pretty close to the cutoff spot of making it into those top 16. And he needs nothing more than a big win is what he needs. And he's hoping for a racetrack like New Hampshire to possibly push him over the edge and probably get him into that top 16 and try to hold on to that, at least with those four races, I think, that you said right after this one coming up. And so there's a lot of different names you could toss out here at this. Chase Elliott's not one of them. I'm not going to toss Chase Elliott out at this one because, to me, I don't know. It's not been one of his strong points, one of these tracks. But, again, New Hampshire is sort of like a Martinsville track. It's just kind of stretched out a little bit more. The degree banking, really no degree banking whatsoever. So it's kind of a plus maybe for some of those Joe Gibbs teams that like that flat sort of surface about racing around the track and racing around the oval.
What do you think these teams are going to be doing as we wrap up the show here in those 2 weeks in between? I mean, I guess a chance to kind of reset things and get ready for that stretch run. But this is an odd break. And again, they had it last year. So maybe last year gives them the experience to know kind of what to do. But what do you think the focus will be in that little break time?
Well, I'm going to be honest. I think Kyle Busch needs to attend sensitivity training classes. I mean, I'm just going to be blunt about that. I mean,
is he the Conor McGregor of NASCAR? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, I'm kind of, and then I'm also kind of hinting, you know, and I saw this in a reference on the internet, someone else that had compared Kyle Busch to a LeBron James out of this. You know, he's one to go out there on the track and talk a lot of stuff and back it up. But when he doesn't get his way, he gets mad about the whole thing. Yeah, you said Conor McGregor there. You know, I saw the infamous no fight, I guess, from this past weekend, and he goes down with and that was painful too. I mean, awful. A broken foot. It was just terrible to see him go down. It's just like, you know, foot turned one way, the leg and the body turned the other. But
and he's being carried off on a stretcher, still talking trash.
Yeah, he was still talking trash. He wasn't done with the whole situation. This is Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch is still talking trash, you know, and I know some of it is show, and you've been involved in the wrestling business. You know, some of this and everything, some of this is show, but you know, sometimes you can go too far with this stuff. Now I think back to a couple of years ago when I was at Bristol, when I guess it's probably my first time working for Augusta Free Press. And I almost saw Kyle Busch get the crap beat out of him outside the racetrack by a fan who was obviously inebriated, but I think the inebriated fan had more sense about him than Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch wanted to actually challenge the guy, and then they had to usher him off to the golf cart and get him out of the way. I don't know. Kyle Busch is one of these, he said, and I'm quoting, you can go online and see it. He hated the way that the track was set up at Atlanta. He didn't like it. He said, well, you know, they need to leave things the way they are. He said, well, anything I say right now is not going to make any difference about it. He says, when they get done with it, it's going to be, and I'm just going to give the initials out of it, it's going to be POS. That's what it's going to be for the track in Atlanta. Now, if you're the owner of Speedway Motorsports and everything, you kind of take that and you say, that's just Kyle talking a bunch of baloney and stuff. But then you really start thinking about it. What is this guy doing? Is he self-destructing out of this whole thing? And Chastain was one that said, you know, hey, I wasn't doing anything different during the Atlanta race. I was just, you know, doing what I could for my teammate and everything. And NASCAR even went back, reviewed it. I don't know if Kyle Busch or Joe Gibbs Racing asked NASCAR to review it and see if he threw an intentional block out of that. So what? It's racing. That's what the whole part of it is. And Kyle Busch has been on the receiving end of some of these things before, and he's done it to people, but you know, I guess it's okay for him to do it, but for somebody else to do it to him is not the same thing. So I don't know what these guys are going to do in 2 weeks. Maybe they're going to cool off a little bit, and then maybe again, they could go nuclear by the time we get to the next race when they get to Watkins Glen and it's a road course race. And, you know, they'll be all looking at Chase Elliott at that point because of his dominance on the road course. So we'll just have to see what happens, but yeah, this 2 week layover after New Hampshire is going to be one that's well deserved for a lot of these teams, and gives these drivers a chance to kind of look and see what they're going to have to do to either get into the playoff picture or, you know, what they're going to have to do to start working on next year.
I think a lot of both, a lot of looking forward to the start of the playoffs, trying to get in position for that. And also a lot of silly season might be going on as well. So
yeah, a lot of silly season. That's right.
Well, Rod Mullins, thank you as always for your time and your insight.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham. Get the latest on the Hoos and up-to-the-minute local news, politics, and sports online at AugustaFreePress.com.